Welcome to the program. I'm Lori Rubenson, talking sports, having fun with you here on The Fan at 888-808-1019. That is the phone number. Go ahead and use it. You got Mr. Connor Green behind the glass. He's producing. He's on the phones, keeping me company, keeping you company. We'll be here till midnight. 5 big hours of the program. All right. Big show. Let's see. I've got fantastic guests for you. Seriously, really great guests. Knicks with a huge win today. So Ian Begley from SNY joins me. We'll break down that Knicks win over the Spurs. And how do we... Here's a question for you to call in on. Who are the 2026 Knicks? We'll talk about that with Ian. We will also talk to another great guest, Art Stapleton from The Record, going to join me. He spent the week out at the NFL Scouting Combine and in Indianapolis. And so, Giants fans, you want to talk about everything from, you know, who should the Giants be looking at with that number 5 overall draft pick? Are there possibilities and places to trade back in this draft since they don't have a third round pick this year? They use that to trade up and get Jackson Dart last year. And all the rumors that are floating around that the Giants are potentially interested in improving the running back position, whether that means taking a running back, drafting one in the first round at pick number 5 overall. Or, and look, the last time the Giants took a running back in the top 5, of course, famously Saquon Barkley. Or, are the Giants considering spending a heap of money to sign a high-priced running back in free agency like Kenneth Walker, who won the MVP in the Super Bowl for the Seattle Seahawks, and yet it seems like they are willing to let him go? We'll find out. How much would he cost, and should the Giants be interested? So a lot of stuff to do with Art. That's coming up at 8. At 9:20, Connor Rogers from NBC, NBC Sports, as well as SNY, going to join me. Certainly we'll break down the Jets. He's also a draft expert, prospect expert, so we'll talk to him. I'll talk to him about not just the Jets, but this draft in general, the talent, all of that. And I might even sneak in a Nimmo question there. Coming up at 10:20, Mike Vaccaro is going to join me, columnist, really super respected columnist from the New York Post. We'll talk about the Yankees and some baseball there. And I'm curious about this whole Nimmo thing. So whether it's Connor Rogers or Mike Vaccaro, somebody's getting a Nimmo question. And he's got a new book out about the Steinbrenners, both George and Hal. So we'll dive into that. So I'm not kidding. Fantastic guest. All right, we're going to start off, but phone lines are open. And this first hour, it's you, it's me, it's Connor behind the glass. Just your calls. We're hanging out. In terms of topics, Connor, one thing that I was about to post on Twitter, I was going to plug the show and I didn't finish typing. And then suddenly the music was playing and I'm like, oh, I can't put this up here yet. So I'm going to get to and talk about a few key topics for my opening. But as I started, you know, I was like, tune in now. Knicks beat the Spurs. Are you still panicking? Because I like to put a little question in there. And the next thing I was writing was Jets are on the clock at the draft. And then in parentheses, I was going to write, is Aaron Glenn awake? Is that too mean? Jets no. are on the clock. Is Aaron Glenn awake?
I think after what happened this week, I think it's a very fair question to ask. And I think it's a fair question to ask in that London game when he didn't call a timeout at the end of the first half. Maybe he was getting a little sleepy. Maybe he just wanted to go to take a little nap at halftime.
Yeah, so it's both a literal and a more theoretical, you know, kind of question that we're posing on that one. Anyway, all right. So a lot to do, but a couple topics that have been bubbling over the weekend that I wanted to get to. And before we dive into this question of who are the 2026 Knicks, and we'll get all over that. A great win today. Knicks versus Spurs at the Garden. And for all the people who are panicking about the Knicks, look, I don't know if the Spurs are just a great matchup for them, but the Spurs were 11-0 in the month of February. This team is not chopped liver, the Spurs and Wemby. That's a fantastic basketball team, the Spurs. And yeah, they have a 7-17 winning percentage. That's after losing to the Knicks. Yeah, that puts them third best record in the entire NBA, only behind the Detroit Pistons and the defending champion Oklahoma City Thunder. They're legit, and they were the hottest team in the NBA. And the Knicks, I'm not going to say they, you know, a lot of this game is closer than the final score. It was in the range. Spurs start off quickly. This game looks, you know, kind of rocky early. Knicks are losing, and then in the first quarter. And then Jalen Brunson, you just see it, flips a switch, and then whether he was just drawing fouls to get himself on the foul line and get the Knicks back in this, taking a few shots, and the next thing you know, you blink, and this is a two-point game. And he's dragged the Knicks back into this thing, and then they go on this massive run. I think it was like a 20-2 run or 22-2, massive run between the end of the first and early set and into the second quarter, through the second quarter. And they just suddenly they go from being down significantly and this looking a little rocky and ugly at first to now they're on top and double digits. And the lead was anywhere from, I don't know, kept going back and forth, 8 to 15 points, somewhere in that range, for a good part of the game until the Knicks then, boom, they put it away late in the fourth, and then the game's out of reach. But it's a very good, convincing team win, top to bottom. And we'll talk about all the attributes of what made it so. And this recipe, can the Knicks use this when they play teams like the Pistons, who you're worried about? Because they've just had the Knicks number so far this season. But we'll talk about some of that. So we're going to get into all of that. But a couple of topics are out there that I admit they bubbled up this weekend and they're aggravating me. So I'm going to start with those two. One is Brandon Nimmo needs to stop talking. Stop talking. Do next time a member of the New York media sends you a text message or gives you a call and wants to check in, see how you're doing, and maybe do an interview, just say no. Stop talking. It's interesting. Don't get me wrong. And for Sports Talk Radio, great topic. And the more he talks, the better David Stearns looks, the worse he looks. So, and I'm sure if I'm on the Texas Rangers, this whole thing is getting distracting. So we're going to get into that. And then the other topic that has me, that's out there and chattering and on my mind. Will the Giants, should the Giants draft a running back like Jeremiah Love with the number 5 overall pick in the draft? Is it different this time than drafting Saquon Barkley with the number 2 overall pick? I'll just tell you right now, I think that whole thing was a debacle. Drafting Saquon on that football team, that Giants football team, with what they had on the roster, where they were clearly heading that Dave Gettleman could not see. It was clearly a declining bad football team with an aging quarterback who should be in the Hall of Fame. I will swear that to my dying day. I think Eli Manning should be in the Hall of Fame. But he was declining. It was obvious, and it was a bad football team. And there were so many holes and needs on that bad football team. And the last thing you do on a horrendous football team with an aging quarterback moving in the wrong direction towards a rebuild is draft a running back. It was so obvious that what happened with Saquon and the problems there, I could have told you that story, written that book for you the day he was drafted. And it played out exactly how I sadly anticipated. I wouldn't have told you that he would have signed with the Eagles afterwards and gone to the Super Bowl as the engine of that team a year later. I wouldn't necessarily have predicted that, but I would have told you that, yeah, sure, he signs a second contract with another team and he plays great for that second team, if assuming they have a great offensive line and he looks like a much better player. Like, that's not a big surprise to me. All of that, that's what happened. And now you have the Giants. And the question is this a different situation? I mean, it is, in the sense that the team, I'm not a big one on drafting running backs with a top five pick in the NFL draft. I just think that there are other positions that you should be drafting that are, I know people at this point, positional value, you're tired of hearing it, all this sort of stuff. But the Giants are now different. They are, instead of a bottom, you know, instead of a team that's on their way down, declining into a rebuild that will take, you know, a while to come out of, we believe, at least with John Harbaugh as the coach, we believe with Jackson Dart, the key thing of all of this, a franchise quarterback, that you have a young franchise quarterback on a rookie contract, the most valuable asset in all of sports, that you need, you have a window right now over the next 4 years to try and win while he's on that rookie contract salary scale and try and build a true winner. And maybe it's too outlandish to think, do you win a Super Bowl title? But that is what teams with good young quarterbacks are trying to do. And so is the right ingredient that running back? I want to talk all about that, especially when they have Cam Scadaboo and Tyrone Tracy on the roster. So I want to get into all of that. So those are a couple topics that are for sure on my mind. All right. Let's dive in, and you want to light the phone and call in on either one of those, 888-808-1019. All right. The Nimmo one, though. So I don't know if you've seen this. I don't know if you've seen what has happened over the past, you know, few days. We've had two stories break. One was Will Salmon in The Athletic, and he talked to Nimmo. They had a nice long chat. And in that article, we hear all the ins and outs of how and why Nimmo is no longer on the Mets. And then there's a follow-up story. Joel Sherman from the New York Post calls Nimmo, has a long conversation, and he gets all kinds of information. And so now what are we hearing from Nimmo? What we're hearing from Nimmo is that apparently he, before games, to try and stay healthy in before home games, and I get it, as an older player, he had stopped taking, you know, working out, warming up, taking batting practice and doing those things well in advance, you know, in advance of a game. And all his other teammates are there, and they're working out and getting ready before a game, taking batting practice. And Nimmo, with his various ailments and at his age and with his, you know, until the last few years, he had a propensity to break down and not play 150-plus games. And the last, I think it's 4 years, he's changed that and become a more durable player. And how did he do that? Part of that, as he's now in his 30s, is that he doesn't work out as much. He doesn't warm up as much. He doesn't take as much batting practice. He's found that works for him. And that's fine. But apparently, according to some of these interviews, some of the players may have resented that. And what's fascinating with this whole captain thing is that I can now, in hindsight, when you think about it, with Nimmo wanted to be a captain, Lindor wanted to be a captain, it sounds like maybe some other players wanted to be a captain of this Mets team. Do you want a captain to be a guy who's not working out as much as the other guys are? And I understand, he shouldn't. If that's what keeps him on the field and that's a winning recipe for him, that's fine. But is that the captain role model of the team? And you look at a team where, you know, we thought and we think about all the strife potentially was the strife on the team between Lindor and Soto or whatever, you know, different personalities. Imagine that team and a guy like Soto, who we know takes a lot of batting practices, hitting off a tee, has his routine, goes through a lot of preparation. So what was that resented by other players on the team? Now we're hearing, yeah, maybe it was, that Nimmo didn't go through as much preparation as some of the other players. And then the other thing we heard from this interview, that when it came to some of these team meetings and discussions and things like that that the players have, Nimmo talks a lot. And some of the players felt he talked too much. It was fascinating. Look, I don't mind. If Nimmo wants to talk, it's great for radio. It's a fascinating topic. He pops up all the time. But at a certain point, I think that he's got to move on. Stop doing these interviews. If I'm the Texas Rangers, I want you to focus on the team you're with now. And honestly, even with the New York Mets, these stories are enlightening. And they make David Stearns look smart. Get rid of a Brandon Nimmo because maybe there were some, we heard about issues in the clubhouse and whatever. Maybe there were some bubbling issues here with Nimmo and some frustration with some of his teammates. And for all the beloved smiling guy that ran hard to first base, you know, sprinted on a walk that we've loved for so many years, that Mets fans loved and appreciated for so many years, yeah, he's that guy. But apparently he's also a guy who might sprint to first base but isn't doing as much work because he's taking care of his body and his health. And he finds resting is better for him. But behind the scenes, he might be sprinting to first base, but other players are actually putting in a lot more work behind the scenes that you don't see, that I don't, you know, we don't all see all the time. And he has that reputation of being Mr. Hustle, and somebody else might not. And then there's frustration. There's resentment. When some of the guys, or a lot of the guys, are working hard behind the scenes. And by him talking, it prolongs all this conversation. And I'm sure if you're Marcus Semien, you're not answering the phone. I haven't seen a bunch of interviews that Semien is doing with Texas Rangers, Dallas Morning News sports writers. My guess is if someone called Semien wanting to do that story, he would say, really appreciate it, but no thanks. I've moved on. And that's the right answer. I hope that's what he would say. Move on. Done. Enough. It's over. And as for Nimmo, it just feels like he's still hurt. He likened and compared, you know, finding out that the Mets wanted to trade him. He compared it to a divorce. To finding out that your spouse wants to divorce you. He's clearly still hurt by this. But it's time. Move on. Focus on your new team. And good for David Stearns to get rid of that contract. I still think what's the number one reason that Brandon Nimmo was traded is because David Stearns was very concerned about Brandon Nimmo's defense in left field. And moving into the future, it was very clear, now we see it, that he wanted, in a perfect world, to move Juan Soto to left field and put a better defensive outfielder in right field, which at some point Carson Benj will be that right fielder. If you saw any of the spring training game today, you got a chance to see him throw a ball home. It didn't have an impact on the game. Somebody didn't tag up on his arm. But you saw some of the power of that arm. And as a former pitcher, how much fun he has in throwing and pride in that. But you're also going to see better angles to the ball, better range that he'll have versus a Juan Soto as he covers right field. And an outfield defensively of Benj in right, Luis Robert in center, and Juan Soto in left. You know, suddenly in left field, if Juan Soto's biggest problem that we can all see is that he takes bad angles to the baseball, in particular going back. That's the problem. Going back, balls over his head, you know, things like that. Bad angles to the ball. Well, if he can, Soto has a pretty decent arm, actually. Reasonably powerful. That should be a good arm for left field. And with that, if he can play a little bit deeper, a step or two back, because he's confident of throwing home from left, then maybe he's a little bit better defensively in left field, where he started his career for the Washington Nationals and has experience there. But David Stern saw that, and that was the plan. And in order to make it have a better upgrade, the talent defensively in the outfield, he needed to be able to move Soto to left. That means Nimmo, you can't have two bad defensive outfielders, which at this point with Brandon Nimmo having a chicken wing of a throwing arm, everybody last year taking liberties, singles turned into doubles, tagging up from third and left, you know, on a ball hit out to left field because they didn't respect his throwing arm. If that's where he's at now, five more years of that deal is not going to look pretty defensively. Pretty quickly turning into a DH. And David Stearns did not want to tie up 5 years of DH on Brandon Nimmo, who's looking older and older, and couldn't see the next 5 years in the outfield being Soto and Nimmo. So that's the reason he was traded, Nimmo. But the more we hear these things, that some of his teammates were a little annoyed by him. Does that sound like a captain? And usually with the Mets, the crazy thing is, it's usually like under the Wilpons and historically with the Mets, they would badmouth somebody on the way out the door, whether that was Justin Turner or somebody like that, and we'd hear bad things after the guy was gone. Under the Steve Cohen Mets, we're not hearing, you know, as they wouldn't have been trashing Nimmo out the door. But he's revealing these things himself. That's what's fascinating here. So I guess keep talking if you want to provide fodder for sports talk radio. But why was he traded? Not really because of those things. He was traded because of the defense, and we can see the plan coming to life. But certainly with the whole captain thing and the all this other stuff and the negativity in the clubhouse, I guess, you know, we see more and more some of that stuff was real. And Nimmo was part of that. 888-808-1019. All right, we got Mario, we got Sean, we got Richie, we got Knicks, we got Yankees, we got Knicks, Yankees, Mets. All of that on board. You want to talk the Knicks' big win today. You want to talk Yankees and Mets spring training. By the way, there's a quote from Brian Cashman that's fascinating that came out yesterday at some point. I want to read to you and get your reaction to that one. Give mine as well. I have Connor as a resident Yankee fan back there. I want to see what he has to say about this. Players leaving for the World Baseball Classic. That's coming up. So Jets on the clock at number two, because we know that the Raiders are taking Fernando Mendoza at number one. So draft combine, where should the Jets go? All kinds of interesting stuff to talk about. You can call at 888-808-1019 or and or hit me up on Twitter on X at L Rubinson WFAN. And I will find and read your comments and questions from there as well. Quick break, right back with your calls.